Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this last edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn on this 22nd of August 2015 as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to or hit me up on Instagram at Rillo Gerald Quinn. As we take you for the next 45 minutes or so. Again, another beautiful day out in the DMV. Certainly get outside, you know, get those last, enjoy these last couple of weeks of summer as fall is right around the corner and football season is right around the corner. And that's where we'll begin with football in the DMV. And really, different night, same story in regards to the Washington Redskins and Robert Griffin III. He, of course, gets injured during the preseason games against the Detroit Lions, which had a meaningless result as far as I'm concerned. You know, the 20 Redskins winning 21-17. Who cares about that? Griffin, of course, took six hits. The offensive line was awful. No Trent Williams, but despite the fact that Williams didn't play, no line should be that bad against a Detroit Lions team that's playing without Ndamukong Suh, who's in Miami, and Nick Fairley, who's with the St. Louis Rams right now. So offensive line was horrible, and Griffin goes out with the concussion, capping off a week in where, you know, Griffin comes out and says, you know, he's the best quarterback in the league. And it's just typical Robert Griffin III, typical Washington Redskins. Robert Griffin III, at some point, and I realized this a while ago with both Griffin and the Washington Redskins, that, you know, this is not going to be a happy ending in terms of this relationship. And I think that, you know, you keep waiting and waiting, you know, for Griffin to reemerge to what he once was back in 2012. It's not going to happen. And this just, it gets worse and worse by each game, each season. You have a quarterback, you have a coach who does not want that guy to be his quarterback. You have a quarterback who, frankly, has been empowered to where it's basically his franchise, despite the fact that he hasn't, you know, outside one good year, hasn't done anything but be injured and do a lot of talking in the media. I don't know if Robert Griffin will ever be, I don't think Robert Griffin will ever be a franchise caliber quarterback. Can he be a journeyman? I think he'll be a journeyman starter over the course of his career. But it's just time for this marriage to end. Everybody comes, you know, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, you know when it's over. I mean, there's no two ways about it. As hard as it may be in any walk of life, depending on what the situation is, when it's a wrap, it's a wrap. And again, this is not going to turn out well. This is not going to turn out well. A couple of people criticizing Gruden for keeping Robert Griffin in. He's got to get some work in. I mean, listen, the guy's been injury prone, so every time he steps out on the field, regular season, preseason, he is a chance that he's going to get injured. Based on his history, he's been an injury-prone player throughout the course of his career, even going back to college. Redskins knew this. Everybody knew this, even coming out of college, when he was winning the Heisman and when he was the second pick in the draft. So I had no problem with him being left in as long as he was left in. Did he take some unnecessary hits that he could have avoided? Maybe. But again, The offensive line was that bad. I mean, the offensive line was god-awful. But, again, this is nothing new. The offensive line has basically, in terms of pass protection, has been god-awful for about seemingly forever now for the Washington Redskins. So this is nothing new in terms of their performance. Griffin, though, you know, when he comes out with the comments earlier in the week about being the best quarterback in the league, those comments, you know, epitomize Robert Griffin. He's made, ever since his first year, getting past his first year as his rookie season, his headlines, his biggest impact on this team in the NFL has been off the field with his words, not with his arm, not with his legs. And, you know, when he comes out with those comments, it's like they were so preposterous that you can't defend them. You could be Robert Griffin's brother and not be able to defend those comments. Play football, and that's it. That's all you have to do is play football if you're Robert Griffin. You are in zero position to make those kind of comments. And again, I don't know who's advising Robert Griffin when he comes out and talks to the media. And it's probably one of the reasons why the Redskins, and I wouldn't be surprised by this, there were a lot of theories that the Redskins pronounced him with a concussion just so that he would not have to speak to the media. It would not shock me. We've seen the Redskins do these type of things before. It wouldn't shock me whatsoever. And it probably was a smart thing, considering his history of speaking to the media and how many times he's put his foot in his mouth or thrown people under the bus. So, again, there comes a point in every relationship where, when it's over, it's over. This relationship between the Redskins and Robert Griffin is over. And there's going to be a long, long 2015 for this team, for this franchise, for this coach. This is just the beginning. You know, they really don't have a tight end right now. They lose a key special teams player. DeSean Jackson's already banged up a little bit, even though he should be healthy to play for the regular season. But, again, he's already a little bit banged up. Offensive line looks horrible. Again, even with Trent Williams, your offensive line should be better to be able to better pass protect. Again, against a Detroit team, this is not the Detroit defense that you faced that was number one defense in the league last year. This is not that defense. They're not the same. Like they, you know, these guys are not. You don't replace the Ndamukong Suh outside J.J. Watt, probably the most dominant defensive player in the league. You don't replace that. Same night, different night, same story, different night. That is the Washington Redskins. Just getting started here on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn, 347-215-6180 is your call number. A lot to do on this busy program. Probably go past 45 minutes, but that's okay. You know, why wouldn't you want more of 1211 Sports Talk? Season premiere coming up in the next 3 weeks or so, so stay tuned for that. For that announcement and also for those dates. Again, a lot to do on this busy Saturday afternoon. We'll be right back. Thank you.
me?
Yeah, that's my message for Washington Redskins fans. Playoffs. Just hope they win the game. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn. As always, you can contact us or review the show at Apple iTunes. Apple.com and look up 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn for any comments or reviews that you would want to write about the show. Five stars. You want to give us five stars? Give us five stars. You want to give us four stars? Give us four stars. Three stars, I'm going to start thinking about you different, but that's okay. It's your opinion. But again, we appreciate any comments or feedback on the show that you may have. Go to Apple's, go to iTunes.apple.com. Also, again, season premiere of season 8, a couple weeks away. We're still getting some things together for that. Looking forward to that. It culminating with starting with the NFL season, as well as NFL picks. We're bring back a lot of stuff, do a lot of college football as we are not that far away from the college football season. So, football is basically here. I'm not big on the preseason outside of watching the Redskins train wreck, but a lot of fights in training camp, in NFL training camps. I mean, I don't remember this many fights in recent memory. Dez Bryant got punched in the face during the course of a fight. Redskins, of course, you had that. Redskins and Texans started this all out with their big brawl they had a couple weeks ago. So, again. Nothing new as far as, there being fights, teams amongst themselves, but a lot of teams who are training and working out with each other are getting into some fights as well. So, it only becomes a story if somebody gets hurt. That's when it really becomes a story. So, again, Green Bay, certain teams just don't scrimmage against one another. Green Bay, I know Ted Thompson, Green Bay does not believe in it. I know coaches like to do it because they want to get their team another look. Maybe you can scout some players who might get cut from a team as well. That's another possibility. But again, there's been a lot of training camp fights more than usual going on around the league. Saturday headlines, Tiger Woods. Tied for first place at the Wyndham Championships. This is important because obviously number one is Tiger Woods. Number two, if he finishes with at least a solo second place finish, he will qualify for the FedEx playoffs at Barclays, which kick off next week. I don't understand, even if he won the tournament, how he could be possibly eligible for that, considering that he's done nothing basically for the better part of 2 years. This first time he's led a tournament after 36 holes since 2013, and he's ranked 286 in the world. So I don't understand how that point system works, where he could be eligible for the playoffs. The playoffs are supposed to be for the best players in the world. I'm not even going to try to compute how they figure that out. But the bottom line is he will be eligible if he finishes in a solo tie for a second. Let's be honest. Listen, golf needs Tiger Woods. Now, the Jim Nances of the world, the golf purists will say the game is better than ever. There's so much talent around the game. The field is deeper than ever. Blah, 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 blah. The bottom line is the casual golf fan is not watching golf without Tiger Woods. It is when he doesn't contend or is a non-factor. He missed the cut in three straight majors this year for the first time in his career. He, again, has been an absolute non-factor this year, and the ratings reflect it. Ratings, if you watch those ratings this weekend, because he's obviously he's making a cut, and obviously he, probably be in a position where he has a chance to win, unless he collapses today, but probably be in a position where he has a chance to win tournament Sunday. Watch those ratings on a weekend where, again, you have no real football, on a weekend where the baseball season you still have another month of baseball, a month of some change in baseball. You watch those ratings this weekend with Tiger Woods in contention, even in a non-major, and you tell me that the sport of golf doesn't need him to be relevant. I mean, the golf purist does not want to admit to it because of some of the things Tiger Woods has done off the court, with his off-field issues as far as what happened in 2009, and also in regards, sometimes Tiger's not the easiest to deal with. It's, the cursing on the course annoys a lot of people. You should not curse on the course during the tournament, by the way. I'll say that firsthand. But you cannot deny the importance, the relevance of Tiger Woods to the sport of golf in terms of keeping the sport relevant. There's no denying that at all. 347-215-6180 is your call number. We'll talk about Straight Outta Compton. We'll talk about Adrian Peterson and so much more coming up on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Quinn. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn. I love he said cases because the differences in the stories can be so stark, and it's like, one guy would be like, he told me this, then the other guy said, no, he did not say this. It did not, and they both of them are so convincing. As far as in terms of their versions of their stories, I just love it. It's amazing how it's like, well, no, you know what? Didn't quite give me that piece of information. We told him everything that we thought he should know, and of course I'm talking about Art Briles, the Baylor head coach, and Chris Peterson, then now Washington head football head coach, now Washington head coach. Used to be, of course, with Boise State all those years, and had a tremendous amount of success with that program. So a Boise State player, Sam Ukawachu, and that's probably the best I can ever pronounce it, transfers to Baylor. With the blessing, of course, of then Boise State head coach Chris Peterson. Chris Peterson had said, hey, got a guy. He wants to move closer to home. maybe, you know, Baylor, you know, maybe you can Coach Briles, maybe you could use a player of his caliber. Coach Briles said, sure, you know, but let's bring him in here. And then it comes to find out that the guy has a boatload of baggage with him, and ends up being charged for sexual assault, and basically gonna be in jail for sentenced to 180 days in jail for sexually assaulting a former Baylor soccer player. So Briles claims that he had no knowledge of this guy's violent past, and that the only thing that Peterson told him was that the guy had suffered from depression in terms of because of a failed relationship. And Briles says, of course, hey, he never played it. This is the key part of this, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of Briles trying to defend the lack of investigation or lack of a background check on the player. He never played it down for us. As far as I'm concerned, Chris Peterson, to me, is almost is 1,000% off the hook in terms of the situation. Because if you are receiving a player from another school as a transfer, the first thing I'm thinking as a coach at that level is, why is the guy transferring, number one? So that's a red flag in my hand to begin with. Why is he leaving, one, this program for my program? We love our program. We believe in what we're doing. But I want to know initially, I want to know what's the reason. The second thing is, in the part of the step two of the process, is I'm going to conduct every single background check. I want to know who his mom dated in high school. Okay. Who are his father's drinking buddies? I want every piece of information known to man on this player, because that player plays a role in whether or not you can keep your job as a head football coach at a major university. He's one of 100 players, but again, he plays a part in terms of your livelihood, in terms of you being able to feed your family. So there's no way I'm going to depend on information or that I got or information that I did not receive from the previous, it's not a job, but let's call it a job, the previous school or employer. That's why jobs, and I live down here in this D.C. area, you know, you got a lot of government jobs, security background checks, security clearances, you know, even, you know, fingerprinting, things of that nature. There's a reason for all that stuff. There's a reason, okay? People should want to know what they are getting in terms of who they're hiring, who they're dealing with, or as much as possible. Again, you can have all, you can collect all the information in the world, and it can still go bad. But you give yourself little to no chance. You open yourself up for anything if you don't go out there and collect the necessary information on a prospective employee. Or transfer in this case, a transfer. So I completely blame this on Baylor, as far as I'm concerned. And I think what happened is that they, you know, Briles liked the player. Okay, he liked the player, wanted him on the team. But then when he got the player and saw that there was some stuff that, you know, that didn't add up, never played it down for him. And the fact that he never played it down for him would be the excuse, would kind of be a way of saying, hey, just because this guy has issues, remember, he never played it down for us. Feeling like that that, something like that fact could take Baylor off the hook in case this guy went in the wrong direction, which he clearly did. But again, this is not on Chris Peterson and Boise, not on Chris Peterson at all, as far as I'm concerned. Now, if you want to say, well, why would you recommend a player that had previous issues, listen, I'm sure there are a number of guys playing college football who are recruited, top recruits, who have baggage. Let's think about it. What reason does Chris Peterson, is he trying to sabotage Baylor and Art Briles by giving him this player? So they don't play in the same conference, okay? They play Baylor in one place in the Pac-12, the other place in the Big 12. So there's no motivation for Peterson to send Briles a bad seed. So as far as I'm concerned, this is completely on Baylor, lack of an investigation, and completely on Art Briles. As a coach running an organization, coaching basketball, football, as an employee, you gotta know what you're about to put an investment, scholarship or sign a guy to a contract, you have to know, which again is the reason why the NFL goes through FBI type background checks when they're drafting a player. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. We'll talk about Straight Outta Compton and some baseball as well. That's coming up and much, much more in this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk. 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. We'll be right back. Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour on this latest edition of Sports 11 Talk. 1211 Sports Talk features Cyril Joe Quinn. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Was able to go see Straight Outta Compton yesterday evening, and I was not disappointed by any stretch. I thought gave you everything that you wanted, that you were expecting out of the movie, especially, during that particular time, mid-80s, I'm like 10, 11, 12 years old. So a lot of that stuff, especially in the 80s, early 90s, a lot of stuff I forgot about. Or was just too young to even remember as far as the Jerry Heller stuff, how they actually came together. How they got started as individuals, their individual stories, I thought the movie, first of all, it didn't feel like a 2 hour and 27 minute movie. Did not feel that way at all. There was no, it didn't drag. The pacing, it was well paced. I like the actors. I always like to see fresh, young talent get their opportunities in a movie like this. Again, story was well told, well acted. So again, I can understand why it got received 89%, 87, 89% with Rotten Tomatoes. With Rotten Tomatoes, and before this weekend is out, it's going to end up crossing the $100 million mark. And it's playing again. It's playing in a lot of theaters. I mean, it's like sometimes movies, you know, movies of this ilk come out, and it's limited viewers. Even if it comes out nationwide, it is playing. I mean, you have your a bevy of theaters and a bevy of showtimes in terms of going to see this movie. That's how popular the movie has become. And again, I was it gave you everything that you expected about this story. And of course, you know, would you like to hear the other side as far as Jerry Heller? Sure. I mean, you know, there's always two sides to every story. There's a good piece on Jerry Heller and Grantland about basically him telling his side in many ways. And of course, you know, he claims that, you know, didn't steal anything that wasn't his, which is basically saying that yes, you did steal from rappers, but you did steal from these guys who were young in the game. But again, that, you know, what is new about that? You know, guys coming into the rap game and coming to any music game at a young age, not knowing the business, being taken advantage of by managers or companies. It happens all the time. It will always happen. It's just a matter of when the artists smarten up, you know, and take matters to their own hands and separate themselves from those particular managers or companies. So that to me is not a big deal. The fact that Jerry Heller was ripping off, you know, taking money off the top, or ripping off, had a side deal with Eazy-E and Dre and Ice Cube were doing the majority of the heavy lifting, but not getting the same type of money. That's the industry. But again, overall, though, it was a very good film. Certainly would recommend it. Great music. Kind of definitely took you back to that late 80s, early 90s, especially when Death Row formed. That, to me, I mean, that was part of the movie that I really got into, as far as, you know, seeing, you know, Suge Knight, you know, as a bodyguard, and the emergence of, you know, the whole Dre, Suge Knight, that whole dynamic, and how they broke off. Matter of fact, you know, there's already talk about, not Straight Outta Compton 2, but similar, a continuation of it, where it picks up into the Suge Knight, Tupac, Snoop Dogg, Dog Pound, that era on, that it really picks up from that and continues on with the, telling that particular story, which might not be as, we'll see about that, because you're not going to have the same people directing or producing. You won't have Ice Cube and Dr. Dre. I don't think Ice Cube will be a part of that. We'll see, you know, what kind of people they get to direct and produce and write for that. But again, well told story. This movie did not drag at all. And I certainly recommend it, and definitely the soundtrack with, you know, Dre's album based on being inspired by the movie. It's certainly one to pick up as well. 347-215-6180. Is your call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Smooth Joe Quinn. When we return, we'll talk some baseball and much, much more. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk. Features Surreal Joe Quinn. Busy week in baseball. First, beginning with Ben Sheraton, who is out in Boston as general manager. You have Jim, he's out, but he could have kept that job as general manager, but with no real power. Dave Dombrowski was brought in. Dombrowski, of course, has been around forever. Was fired from Detroit a few weeks back. And, you know, the Ben Sheraton era in Boston is one that you just don't see all – I mean, you just rarely see it in terms of sports. He replaces Theo Epstein in 2011. 4 years, three last place finishes, because the Red Sox are going to finish last place this year. Three last place finishes and one championship. That is as strange of a resume that you will ever see on anybody's mantle in terms of team president or general manager in any sport. And again, the one championship, listen, he brought in, that was his team for the most part. He made those moves to get a lot of those guys, but made the fatal mistake of, one, trying to build his pitching staff around number three and four starters, which you can't do, and two, got away from what has made the Red Sox so successful in terms of winning championships in the last decade. The Red Sox, yes, they've had some free agents here and there, but the Red Sox have done an excellent job of drafting. They've done an excellent job of getting guys from, you know, from Japan, or getting guys from overseas, getting guys that you never had, similar to the San Francisco Giants, that you never have not heard of. When they start going to that buy everything mode, that's when they get themselves in trouble. They did the same thing in 2012, and they tried to do the same thing last offseason. Okay, when they, again, Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, Pavel Sandoval, Hanley Ramirez, I mean, trying to buy every player known to man, and that's just not how, that way of winning baseball games and winning championships, even against the playoffs, that way is done. That way is over. You look at the teams right now in baseball, who are perennial championship contenders and perennial playoff teams that are making it to the playoffs. St. Louis, San Francisco, Pittsburgh, okay, even Detroit before this year. Those teams, yeah, some of those teams have big, big payrolls, but for the most part, they have developed their own talent, made smart trades, and really, or picked up people who nobody wanted, and those guys have produced for them. Look at the Dodgers. Listen, the Los Angeles Dodgers are going to have a $300 million payroll, and there's no guarantee. If they don't win that division, they're not making the playoffs. And as of right now, they're like, I think, a game and a half ahead of the Giants. Giants could easily win that division. So, again, that trying to buy every player and pick up every big free agent, that day is done. And if you don't have legit starting pitching, forget about it. They're not winning. There are too many great starting pitchers out there, or teams that are loaded with pitching to overcome that. You're not going to out-hit anybody. That's not baseball anymore. Offenses are not scoring. You're not out-slugging anybody. That's not how the game is played anymore. Mike Fiers pitches a no-hitter for Houston last night over the Dodgers in a key series for both teams. Give Houston a lot of credit. Houston got off to the fast start, kind of calmed down, especially around the All-Star break. They spent a couple of days out of first place with the Angels overtaking them. Now they have regained control of that division, up 3.5 games on the Angels. Now have loaded with pitching and young talent. So I give Houston an awful lot of credit for a lot of times teams get off to these fast starts that are unexpected or come out of nowhere. They come back down to earth and you never hear from them again. Houston, that's not going to be the case with the Houston Astros. I think they're going to make the playoffs, and I think they're probably going to win that division. Isaiah, again, they have a lot of starting pitching, and frankly, they have nothing to lose. I mean, that organization, nobody's expecting them to win anything. That organization has been down the dumps for a number of years now, and they have like just. But to their credit, they have a bunch, a boatload of draft number one picks, and they've hit on enough of them to have their team at this position where they're 11 games over 500 in first place in the AL West. 347-215-6180 is the call number. We'll be right back on this last edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. Of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. We began the program, of course, talking about Robert Griffin III and the Washington Redskins. Another disastrous week for the organization for Robert Griffin III. First, he comes out with the comments, "I'm the best quarterback in the league." Then on Thursday, he proceeds to suffer a concussion after taking just a beating at the hands of the Detroit Lions. Again, minus Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley, not nowhere near the same line defense, especially up front that you saw back in 2014. Griffin gets hurt on a play where he fumbles the ball. A guy jumps on his back. Thought it initially was a shoulder, but turns out that it was a concussion. And then you had the Washington Redskins come out and say, hey, despite that he should be ready to play for Baltimore. I would not play him against Baltimore, by the way. But again, this is just a latest chapter in a just failed relationship that needs to be just a marriage that needs to be annulled, frankly, between Robert Griffin III and the Washington Redskins. He's not going to be that. He will never be the quarterback that he once was in 2012 in a Washington Redskins uniform. And to be honest with you, I don't think he'll ever be that quarterback ever again in any uniform, but it's definitely not going to happen with the Washington Redskins. At some point, if you're a Washington Redskins, you got to just suck it up, cut your losses, and move on from the situation. You have a coach that does not want him. You have a coach that doesn't want him. You have players who really, frankly, don't believe in him. I don't care what they publicly say. And it's sometimes, listen, trying to hang on and trying to wait for him to recapture that glory of 2012, it just continues to set back your franchise instead of going out there and drafting a quarterback or going out there and drafting and developing another quarterback and moving on from this situation. Robert Griffin III, sometimes you just need a change of scenery. And it's all there is to it. And I'm not saying Robert Griffin III will leave Washington and become an all-pro player, but I just think that you just can't, in this town, the way this thing has played out, he, again, will never be that quarterback as a Washington Redskin. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. I'll see you next time.